he had a challenge to issue. Somebody was in his car, or he was claiming that somebody was illegally in his karka, that it was his karka, and somebody was trespassing and living there and working there. And he wanted to issue his challenge. So what he did was he looked around for an audience for his challenge, and he found a very prominent rabbinic audience. You don't need a prominent rabbinic audience. You don't even need three people, because we paskin, there's a machlokas whether two or three, which we discussed extensively. We paskin, you only need two, and they don't have to be a rabbi. It's not Pirchas HaGomel, you know. So basically, he just happened to chance upon Ashkechinu, L'Rav Huna L'Chia Barab, U'L'Rav Chilkia Bartuvi. Right? The Habu Yasvi, they were sitting together, and he conveniently assembled them to hear his mechah. Then the next year, Lashana, a year later, Hadar Asa Limchuye, he came back. They were still sitting there. They probably were learning a different sugya by then, but they were he found them again a year later, and he thought he would convene them to reissue his mecha a year later. So Amrlay, they said to him, this group of three said to him, Lo Tzrichas, it's not necessary for you to be mocha again, since you were mocha a year before. Because Hacham Rav, this is what Rav said: Kim Shemicha Shana Rishona, Shuv Eino Tzarech Limchos. Once you are mocha in the first year, it's not necessary anymore to be mocha. Now, what's not clear is whether this is to be taken literally or not. In other words, at minimum, we understand that he wanted to be mocha that second year. Let's assume for the moment he wanted to be mocha every single year. He thought every year you need to issue or reissue the mecha. And they said to him, that is not necessary. But the language that they used actually implies not only that it isn't necessary to repeat the mecha every year, but that once you've done a mecha, that's sufficient. You don't need to ever repeat a mecha. It could last 10 years, 30 years, 100 years, as the case may be. Not all Rishonim, however, agree. Some of them say that all the Gemara meant here was to say that it's not necessary to repeat the mecha every year, but that there could be a requirement to repeat it within, let's say, every 3 years, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. Even this line in the Gemara would assume that. That's the Machlokas or Rishonim, how to read the Shaklavataria of the Gemara at this point. It doesn't matter so much, because either way, it's clear that there seems to be a view out there that once you're mocha, it's not necessary to repeat it. But the only question is whether it also appears in this daf and in this Shaklavataria or not. Either way, the Gemara then goes on as a second version of this. Ikadamri, Amalei, Chia Barav. Chia Barav said, Kivin Shemicha Shana Rishona, Shuv Eino Tzarech Limchos. Once you've been mocha the first year, it's not necessary to repeat the mecha. Amrei Shlakas Mishum Bar Kapara, B'tzarech Limchos, B'sov Kol Gimel V'Gimel. However, within every 3 years, it's necessary to be mocha once. So if you're mocha the first year, you have to be mocha again the fourth year. If you're mocha the second year, you have to be mocha the fifth year, and so on. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tei bo Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asked a question. V'chi gazlan esh lo chazaka. Why is it necessary to repeat the mecha within 3 years? Can a gazlan establish a chazaka? The Gemara says later on that if somebody is established, he's known to be a gazlan. Let's say he's possibly ages, he can't testify in court because he has been established as someone who is a gazlan. Right? So that individual also cannot lay claim to karka on the basis of a cheskas gimel shanim. Because the assumption is that since he is a gazlan and he's not trustworthy, therefore, he can't establish a chazaka. People are afraid of him, so they don't complain, as the case, again, may be. The Gemara has a list of people who don't have the ability to establish a cheskas gimel shanim. One of them is gazlan. So the Gemara here is saying, why, once he's been accused of being a gazlan in the karka, why is it necessary to repeat the mecha within 3 years? After all, from this point on, he's labeled as a gazlan, and a gazlan named the chazak. Now, the truth is, the question is more surprising than the answer. The Gemara says, Goslin Sokadaita? What do you mean he's a Goslin? He was accused of being a Goslin by the Marakama. The case has yet to come to court. It hasn't been established that he's a Goslin. He's just, he's the alleged Goslin, probably even less than that at this point. So why would anybody think that the accusation alone would establish him as a Goslin and preclude the possibility of him establishing a Chazakah? And if that's not so, then we understand very well why it's necessary to have a Mecha every 3 years, or within 3 years. So the Gemara says, Ela, rather, Ki Goslin, Yesho Chazakah. He isn't a Goslin, but he is being accused of being a Goslin, therefore he's not excluded from Chazakah, and therefore we understand why you need to be Mocha within the 3 years. Then the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Hilchos HaTzorech Limkos Besof Kol Gimel Begimel. The halacha is that you have to be Mocha one time within 3 years. You can't allow a 3 year period to lapse without having registered a Mocha. This is the Gemara. Okay, so I want to discuss first several points quickly. I want to get through all of this tonight, and then the next few lines as well to finish this up. Number one, Gittel Bar Minyumi. Gittel Bar Minyumi had the Hava Mina, that you have to be Mocha, not just the first year, but at least the second year as well. And the Chachamim said to him, not true, you don't need to do that. It's enough to have a single Mocha, or at least a single Mocha, every 3 years. You don't have to be Mocha every year. What did Gittel Bar Minyumi have in mind? Why did he think that it was necessary to repeat the Mecha every single year? So if you look at the Rashbam here has a suggestion which kind of neutralizes the significance of Gittel Bar Minyumi, although it stretches our credulity a little bit. I mean, is this really what Gittel Bar Minyumi had in mind? Maybe, I mean, the Rashbam thinks so. If so, it's not that serious. Look at the Rashbam, the Ramaskil, second. Lotzrichas. One second, I think. Could be the Shana Cheres. Yeah, sorry, the Shana Cheres. Very good. The Shana Cheres also, the third wide line. Pam Shnia, Umicha Kamayu, Svirle, the Kol Shana Vishana Tzarek Limkos. Vim Micha, Pam, Rishona, Ushnia, and even if he mentioned, even if he was Mocha the second year as well, meaning the first and second year, even then, Velo Micha Vishana Shlishis, Iglai Milsa, the Shalok Kedin, Micha, Rishona, Ushnia. So the way the Rashbam interprets Gittel Bar Minyumi is, it's not that Gittel Bar Minyumi felt that in principle it's necessary to be Mocha every single year. He felt if you don't follow up, then people will not take seriously your original Mocha. That in principle a single Mocha is sufficient, either every 3 years or forever. However, lack of follow-up implies lack of seriousness. It reflects retroactively on the first Mecha. Louis Yitzuyar, that the first Mecha, right, continued to be taken seriously, it would not be necessary to repeat it. However, since there's a possibility that the conclusion will be drawn from his continued silence or subsequent silence, that initial Mecha was not serious, so therefore it's necessary to repeat it. So basically, Gittel Bar Minyumi's Havamina was not that you need more than one Mecha within 3 years, it's that in order to sustain the credibility of the original Mecha, it has to be repeated, lest people retrospectively dismiss it. That's how Rashbam interprets Gittel Bar Minyumi. However, there is another interpretation in the Rishonim. Not so explicit, but if you read it carefully, it seems different than the Rashbam, and that is the view of the Rimi Gash. The Rimi Gash accentuates the following point. The Rimi Gash doesn't say it explicitly, but this is what he seems to be getting at. If the Mecha of Gittel Bar Minyumi had taken place after 2 years, right, or beyond, or after a year and a half even, possibly, according to the Rinnegash, there would have been no question that it would have been sufficient. The problem with Gittur Bar Menuhmi's Mechah is that it took place less than 50% through the Chazaka. And therefore, one might have thought that, yeah, it's true, there was a Mechah at the beginning of the Chazaka, but more than half, a substantial part of the Chazaka took place without a Mechah. That's if I'm Moche after the midway point, so then my Mechah is Chal on more than 50% of the Chazaka. And we can understand why a kind of, you know, Rubo Kikulo, so it's like the Mechah relates to the total period of the Chazaka. Again, the Rinnegash is not anywhere near as explicit as what I'm saying, but this is, I think, what he's getting at. On the other hand, if I'm Moche only in the first third of the Chazaka, or less than the first 50% of the Chazaka, so then you might say, well, you have a Mechah, you're weighing two, you know, forces, two legal forces. You have the Chazaka, you have the Mechah. But the point is that you don't have a Mechah to counteract the majority of the Chazaka. So the majority of the Chazaka is Mechah less. And therefore, the Mechah is ineffective. Now, Halakha, again, Gittur Bar Menuhmi was told, you know, it doesn't work that way. All you need is a single Mechah forever, or a single Mechah for 3 years. And it relates to the entire period. But that was Gittur Bar Menuhmi's Habamina. Now, what's important about that, unlike the Rashbam's, again, the Rashbam is practically important. I mean, if it's true that we would dismiss the original Mechah, which in principle is sufficient, but if not repeated, in retrospect, you know, we don't take seriously, so then Lamaisa, it's important to repeat it. But in principle, it doesn't shed any new light on the relationship between Chazaka and Mechah. The Rinnegash's interpretation, if I have it correct, on the other hand, says something very fundamental about the concept of Mechah. What it tells us is that Mechah doesn't just establish that there's no Chazaka, but rather that there are these two countervailing forces. There's a Chazaka and there's a Mechah, and the Mechah has to negate, it has to attack and neutralize the Chazaka. And the Havamina was that the timing of that attack is significant. Having said that, I'm going to tell you another Shita's Yachid, that is also very fascinating, which goes in the other direction, but it's based, I think, on the same principle. And that is the view of Rav Haigo. As we mentioned, there seems to be a question whether a single Mechah is sufficient for 3 years, or a single Mechah is sufficient for the lifetime of the case. You don't have to repeat it within 3 years. So it could be that that argument is rooted right here in our Gemara, as we just read it. Or, and that's the view of the Yad-Ramah and some of the other Rishonim, if not, at minimum, that idea is hinted at in another Gemara. Gemara that we've seen already, and that we'll probably see again. And that is the Gemara in Lamed Amud Beis. Let's look at that for just a minute. We've already read it, but let's look at it again for a minute. The Gemara here says, Hahud Amar Lechavre, this is five lines from the bottom of the page, on Lamed Amud Beis. You see the hay of the Ramba, or the Ches, I'm sorry, of the Rambam. Everybody have it? Lamed Amud Beis, towards the bottom. Hahud Amar Lechavre, person says to the other fellow, my boy is Bahai Ara. He says, I'm the Amarakama, what are you doing in my property? And the other guy says, Amalei, Niploni Zvine, Zvina rather, Yachaltia Shnei Chazaka. I bought it from the owner, who he thinks is the owner anyway, and I've been there for 3 years. So the Gemara says, Amalei, Vaha Nakitna Shtara, you bought it from him. You're saying you bought it from him, but I bought it from him, and I have a star to prove the Zavni Lei Mine Har Bashani. Right, you have been in the karka for 3 years, claiming that you bought. Let's again, let's say there's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Okay, so everybody acknowledges that, you know, way back when Reuven was the owner of this property. Now Levi is presently in the property, and Shimon comes to Levi and says, "What are you doing in my property?" So Levi says, what do you mean your property? I bought this property from Reuven, and I've been there for 3 years. Or I've been there for Shnei Chazaka. Okay. And then Shimon says, what do you mean you bought it from Reuven and you've been there Shnei Chazaka? I bought it from Reuven 4 years ago, before your Chazaka, in other words, and here's the shtar. I have a shtar that can demonstrate that I bought Reuven's karka 4 years ago. Therefore, my claim precedes your claim, and, you know, you don't have a chazaka on this karka. So Amale, so then the fellow, you know, Levi, not to be outdone, turns to Shimon, and he says, Mi savris shnei chazaka klas shani kamina shnei chazaka tuva kamina. You know, this is a machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim say he said 3 years, but now he's explaining, when I said 3 years, I didn't mean 3 years. I meant, you know, there's a legal category called 3 years of chazaka. I only need 3 years. But in fact, I've been in this karka not 3 years, but many more years than that. Those years that precede, right, you 4 years ago bought the karka from him, my years precede those years. Let's say 7 years, as we'll see in a moment. The other view is that he didn't say tlas shani. He said shnei chazaka. I've been here chazaka years. He didn't say the number three. The assumption hearing it was that it's three. So the fellow said, I've been here 4 years, or my claim goes back 4 years, so my 4 years beats your 3 years. And he said, oh, by the way, when I said, you know, shnei chazaka, I didn't mean the minimum three. I meant, in this case, seven. There's also a debate then. And the Rishonim is, yes, prove the seven or not. But either way, this is the case. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Avidi Inshi Dekar L'Shanei Tuva Shnei Chazaka. It's not a stira. When he says, I've been here Shnei Chazaka, it doesn't have to mean only 3 years. Right? It's a bigger Kiddush if he actually said 3 years. And we're saying 3 years doesn't have to mean 3 years. 3 years is legal terminology for chazaka, but it can really mean more years. This goes to the question of whether we say toin v'chozer v'toin or not. Can you change your taina, and what are the conditions of changing a taina, which actually is the subject of the next gemara, lamed aleph from an aleph. Okay, but not for now. Either way, that's what the gemara says. So basically, we'll believe him. And then the gemara adds, v'hani mili da'akla sheva, the kadim chazaka, the high. He has to claim that actually he's been in the field 7 years, so that his 3 years are prior to the 4 year mark when the other guy made his claim. That means he claims, I bought it from Reuven 7 years ago. But he doesn't have the shtar anymore. He doesn't have the shtar anymore. He had a chazaka that was concluded, right, before the other fellow bought it with a shtar from Reuven. So in other words, Levi is saying that I had a taina and gimel shnei chazaka, no shtar. I mean, I can't produce the shtar. It's long gone. But I have a taina and shnei chazaka, which would have won me, if we had gone to court, if I had gone to court with my claim, at that point, I mean, after the 4 years ago, a little before your, let's say, 4 years and 2 months ago, right? And you came 2 months later with a shtar saying, Reuven just sold me the karka, who would win the case? Levi. Because Levi has taina and shnei chazaka that precede the shtar that Shimon got from Reuven, right? So since that's the case, that's what these words mean in the Gemara. Hani mili dachla sheva, he's been there 7 years. Let's assume he has witnesses for 7 years. That's the debate in Rishonim. The kadim chazaka dahai l'shtar dahak. His chazaka concluded before the other fellow's shtar, and therefore he will win. Aval shitz, if it's only 6 years, ein l'cha m'cha gedola mizu. But if it's 6 years, then the m'cha, where's the m'cha? From Reuven? It's just by selling the karka to Shimon, there's no bigger m'cha, there's no bigger legal challenge than that. Okay. So what emerges from this gemara? Just 1 more second. One thing. In this case, do you need a chazaka, do you need a m'cha every 3 years? No, because the b'cha took place prior to 3 years. It's a single b'cha, and it's working for, it'll work for 6 years. Yeah.
This one focuses on the frequency of making them not go up.
Yeah.
Can we tie that in with the question of the Machoah? The question ends, for the Machoah are even like with Dino, I'm taking it to a destiny tomorrow.
Right.
Now, how long are we going to keep that question alive? I'm taking it tomorrow.
Right.
That could be the Machoah test.
Very good.
That he doesn't take him to a destiny.
Right. So the Rashbam says, if you look here, we can go back to Lamed Beis just for a second. You can turn back to Lamed Teslan Beis now that we've seen the Gemara. The Rashbam says that his Dorinish Bishtare loses its seriousness if having claimed exactly what you said. If having claimed that you're going to take legal action against me, if you don't follow up within 3 years, then I don't have to worry about it. That's the Rashbam. Look here, just 1 second. Dibra Maschil. Amrei Shokish Meshuv Bar Kapar V'Tzarek Limkos B'Sof Kol Gimel V'Gimel. The Avagav the Mishemicha Shana Rishona Shuv Ein Tzarek Limkos. Even though he doesn't have to be mocha every single year, one b'chaz should be enough. Hani Mila B'Hanu Gimel. That relates to the 3 years. Avosof gimel tzorich limchos adayin delo nehevi tlashnin below mecha. They said 3 years should not go by without a mecha. The tlashnin mizdorinish b'shtare achar hamecha tvei lo mizdor. Somebody's not going to hold on to the shtar forever if the other fellow said, if he said to them lemachar tavan ole bedina, and 3 years have gone by and nothing has happened. That's the Rashbam. Now the Chachmei Sparad, the Hachi Hilchos says the Rashbam, we pass in this way about the 3 years. The Apagav, the Teber, Rabbi Yochanan, even Rabbi Yochanan asks questions on it. Tmiya haya, avoyari haya lachlok al bar kapara. He didn't argue, he was worried about arguing against bar kapara, become rach pasakein, and so on. We hold on to the Eshem Farshim, we'll get back to that in a second. So you're quite right. That's really the Rashbam's explanation. A similar explanation is the explanation of the Chachmei Sfarad, the Rosh, the Rajba, the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Ramban, and others who say the same idea as the Rashbam, but instead of saying, well, after 3 years, if you haven't followed up, there's no longer a Chashash of his Dorinish Bishtare, what they say is, if you've been silent for 3 years after the Mecha, that shtika is also a raya that you weren't serious about the first mecha. No follow-up, 1 year is one thing. No follow-up after 3 years, that is damaging to the credibility of your case. So those are the two main, we'll see the other perushim in just a minute, but those are the two main mefarshim, the two main perushim in the Gemara. Yeah.
Just to follow-up to Rabbi Ashton's point, what the point you're making, a mecha has a certain shelf life, let's say, but during which time it's vital and alive. After which it becomes stale.
Right.
I cannot see how repeating a stale mecha in any way can revive it and bring it back to life. Because you've already shown that you're all tall.
Well, I mean, the fact is, let's remember what's at stake here. I mean, you have $1 million property. Basically, this is warning, hold on to your documentation. So if somebody, it may be stale, but it's better than not. Meaning if somebody is telling you, I haven't forgotten about you, you still probably don't want to risk, losing your $1 million property because you just can't be bothered to hold on. It's not such an onerous burden for you to be holding on to the shtar. So it's still, if we know that he keeps repeating it in 3 year intervals, there's certainly a significant enough chance that he means it, that ignoring him is either at your own peril or reflects, that you never really have a shtar. So I hear the question, but everybody seems to agree that if you repeat your mecha within 3 years, that should be sufficient. The only question is, do you even need to repeat it every 3 years? And that's, I guess, the bigger question, which we're going to get back to in a second. Yeah?
Didn't we have a Gemara at the beginning where this guy was a ransom in the middle of somebody's step?
Yeah.
But he objected. That would seem to suggest...
Baral Yashiv.
Right. That would seem to suggest that you could object immediately. That would be considered a good mecha.
Right. That doesn't mean that you don't have to repeat it. No, what they were saying there was... If the basis of Cheskos Gimel Shanim is Shtikas Marakama, so maybe if he knows about it and he's silent, then the chazaka should take place not after 3 years, but immediately. How is the Gemara? The Gemara says that the people like Bar Eliashiv, why do you have to wait 3 years to establish a chazaka? As he doesn't let anybody put a finger into his property without threatening lawsuits. If he's quiet, then probably it's it's not his property. So why wait 3 years? And that's a different point.
Another question, which is not really to the point, but is it possible that there's a whole totally different scenario going on with Peter Bar Minuli? He's protested 1 year.
Yeah.
Now the next 3 year sequence starts, and he's got to protest once within the next sequence of 3 years. So when he protests the second year, he's really protesting at the beginning of the second period of 3 years.
Well, how do you know which year he was? The simple reading of Gittel Bar Minuli is that he was protesting in the first year.
Yeah, he protested the first year.
So
so that was that absolves him from having to protest again during the 3 year interval.
Okay.
So now would be that extension would mean he'd have to protest by year four.
Right, no later than four.
No later than
if he
four.
Protested so earlier.
Comes year two.
Right.
And now he's showing that he's protesting in that second interval of years 2, 3, and 4. I mean, clearly, the Rashbam doesn't say that. Nobody else says it. I'm just.
I don't understand. It's within the first 3 years. Why is it the second interval?
Doesn't the clock start again? Maybe I misunderstood something.
It resets. Presumably, I'm not 100% sure. Let's say, according to 90% of the Rishonim, the clock resets every time there's a machal.
Right. So good. So that's exactly my point.
So he, you have to be mocha within 3 years.
Right.
So he was mocha year one,
which counts for up to year three.
No. Now it just starts the reset button again.
Right.
So he has another 3 years in which his next process has to be sometime within the next 3 years.
So
it doesn't have to be next year.
Correct. But once he does it next year,
so then he'll have another 3 years after that.
Exactly.
But that isn't the simple. That isn't how anybody understands.
I understand. So I'm just.
Right, but it's not a question. It's not the Rashbam and the Rimigash. You can't read the Gemara that way, because what the Gemara was saying was they told him you don't need to be mocha every year, Gittel Bar Minuli,
right, so
as if he thought that you did. According to you, he didn't think that he did,
right,
either.
We just don't have his response saying.
Okay, I'd rather assume that the Chachamim understood what Gittel Bar Minuli was doing when they responded to him. Both the Rashbam and the Rimigash,
right,
both assumed that the conversation between the Chachamim and Gittel Bar Minuli was an intelligent, meaning that they both were talking about the same thing. The only question is, what did he think, and what were they telling him was wrong? What you're saying is, no, Gittel Bar Minuli was a cautious guy. He never knew where he'd be 3 years from now. He only knew where he'd be next year. So he'd always want to push the clock back another year. Right, if that was it, everybody would agree. There wouldn't be anything to talk. It wouldn't be any chiddush in Gittel Bar. He wouldn't be wrong, that's all I'm saying. They told him he was wrong. Now, what else? Yeah.
So, when you explained to Bernie Lieberman about that the need to continue, really assumed that the function of the machor was to put the machzik on
notice.
But let's say we just say it just isn't the real, it's just not genuine. It's not sincere, regardless of whether, I mean, if he doesn't do anything about it, regardless of whether the machzik heard or didn't hear or it comes to his attention, it's just not a genuine.
I mean, something that's not followed up? Right, but we're not. I think it's a good point, this idea about the shelf. But I'm just saying, in the halakha, we don't find anyone who thinks that if you repeat it every 3 years, but you don't follow through, that at some point it becomes old and doesn't have any impact whatsoever. We don't find such a shita that I'm aware of. I was trying to put that in perspective by saying, listen, there's always the chance that the guy, will bring it to court. And we're not talking about a major concession. We're talking about holding on to your shtar. So if with every 3 years he bothers to go to court and register another machah, then if he's going to do that, then your proper legal response is to hold on to your shtar. If you found the shita that said after, well, we will find the shita in a minute, but not because of shelf life. What if there are discrepancies in the machal? Let's say the first time I'm mocha, I tell one story. Then within 3 years, I come back, that's the next Gemara. And I tell a different story. And then the third time, I tell yet a third story. But each time I'm being mocha, so you might think that each time, you better hold on to your shtar, because he's coming after you. But he's coming after you with conflicting stories. That's where we find, finally, right, that you no longer have to respond to his machah. But that's when there's a discrepancy in the content of the machah. But if it's simply a, what you called a stale machah, right, as far as I know, we don't find the sheet, certainly the halacha, it's not so. I don't even know if a sheet in the Gemara that says that that a repeated machah, consistent machah, within 3 years that is repeated can be ignored. Not that. However, can you ignore discrepancies? And we'll soon see that there's an argument what it means to be discrepancies, and that reflects orientations which are very similar to what you're saying. Just we're I guess drawing the line in a different place. Instead of saying stale, old, you know, never executed, never acted upon, never followed through machah, that you still have to take into consideration. But once there starts being other vulnerabilities, other weaknesses in the machah, then we'll have it. So it's the same idea, right? It resonates what you're saying, just in different cases. Okay, now, why did I want you to see Laman Odeh? For two reasons. Number one, Tosfos, Rashbam says we paskin every 3 years. By the way, the halakha, if you go, if you look at the, you know, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and we paskin this every 3 years. However, the Bali Tosfos do not paskin it this way. Bali Tosfos paskin, one machah is good forever. You don't even have to repeat it. Why? Based on this Gemara. Look at the Tosfos du Masa B'Tzarchu. Tosfos says, L'hai Taima, in the middle of Tosfos B'Tzarch, L'hai Taima, Ha'ad Amar Le'el, quoting our Gemara that we just read, Aval, Hachla, Shis, Shinin, Ein L'cha, M'cha, G'dol, M'izu. Right? The M'cha is the, I'm sorry, the Mechira is the M'cha, right? By selling it to Lokeach within, right, the period, that's a Mecha. But it seems like that's a Mecha forever. Right? Pligi, ahach, the Hacha, the Kamar de Tarach, Limchos, Kogimel, the Nira, the Kahi, Hokasa, the Stam, the Gemara, Kamarla, the Lokamash, the Pasuk, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Alacha, Kamar Kapara. So it says, by the way, even though this Gemara seems to say clearly every 3 years, even though the Rashbam says we paskin that way, if you look carefully at the Gemara in Lamed Amud Beis, it's not that way. And therefore the halakha is the machlokas on Gemara, and we paskin once forever. Okay, that's a very big chiddush. Okay. Everybody was bothered by the question of Tosfos. How come the Gemara in Lamed Amud Beis seems to say one machah is sufficient, when the Gemara on Lamed Testament Beis seems to paskin every 3 years? And not everybody liked Tosfos' answer, which is the two Gemaras argue, and once they argue, you have to pick and choose who do you want to paskin like. Tosfos said they argue, A, and B, we paskin like the earlier Gemara. Most Rishonim didn't want to go there. Right? They did not want to acknowledge that there's an argument. So what do they say? So the majority Rishonim said the following. There's a difference when the Gemara says Ein Lecha Mecha Gedol Mizu about Mechira, right? We should take that under advisement. In our case here on Lamed Testament Beis, what are we talking about? We're talking about a verbal Mecha, a legal challenge, right? You have to have a Nusach, you have to file it in the court, right? You have to do it in the presence of two people. But the Gemara Lamed Amud Beis, Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, is talking about a competitive legal action, right? He's claiming to be the owner of my property, and I'm going to express my legal rights, right, by expressing my ownership in the act of a sale. And what does the Gemara say? Not only is that considered a mecha, but a mecha mecha gedol mizu. So maybe it's actually a more forceful, it's not just, you know, dialogue min adin lios kenadun, you know, it's as good as a mecha, maybe it's better than a mecha. Now, we had this issue before, when we talked about the nusach of mecha, right? The Gemara says, gazlana, the tenakat le'aroi begazlanusa, mechar tavana le'medina, correct? So at the time, we read a Tshuva Sarajba, which were in our sheets, where the the debate between the parties was, what if you don't formulate the machah properly? Right? So the Rajba says, the formulation is a technicality. The important is the ideas that are expressed. And he says, Teidalach, the Raya, because the Gemara, Lamed Amud Bey, says that Mechira could be machah. So you can have a machah without any words. A legal action can be a machah, can be a protest. Even a better protest than words. If we care about the Nusach, you can't substitute it for legal action. That was the Rajba's tshuva. However, Rabbeinu Yonah, I mentioned this at the time, here on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, says differently. He says, you should know that the while the Nusach is very, very important, right? You should know that Mechira is a different kind of Mechah entirely. What's he trying to answer, Rabbeinu Yonah? This question. How come on Lamed Amud Beis, one Mechah is good forever, and here we're saying you need a Mechah every 3 years? So Rabbeinu Yonah answers, because on Lamed Amud Beis we're talking about the Mechah by means of Mechira, a legal action. And Ein Lecha Mechah Gedol Mizu, it's a different kind of Mechah completely. He says, Teidalach, how do you know? Exactly the opposite of Rajba. Because no one, how can you get away with the Nusach of the Mechah? If you can, that indicates that this is a whole different perspective on Mechah. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. Now others didn't say it so dramatically, including Rabbeinu Yonah himself, on Lamed Amud Beis, the Rush, the Ramban, what they said was, listen, why do you need to repeat the Mechah every 3 years? This is a more moderate way to say the same thing. Because of what we just said, if you don't repeat it every 3 years, right, then it becomes stale, according to them, or not Tosis. Right? Meaning, the guy is going to hold on to his shtar forever because 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you made a Mechah, you never repeated it. You didn't repeat it, so we don't take it seriously. After a certain point, it loses its seriousness. Or, if the basis of Chazaka is Shtikas Marakama, so he wasn't Shosek. But if he never followed through, he wasn't Shosek 40 years ago, and since then he's been Shosek, so now we're wondering, you know, whether that was just a fake or not. In other words, the impact of the Mechah, the verbal Mechah, if you don't follow through with it, right, comes under some question, comes under a cloud. But they say, that's never true for Mechira. When we say about Mechira, Eilecha Mechah Gedol Mizu, can you say, oh, he didn't mean it? Oh, it runs out? No, because there's a third party here. Remember Reuven? Reuven wanted to protest Levi's claim, right, that he's the owner of the property. So what did he do? He sold the property to Shimon. So unless he's a Rasha, selling property that he doesn't own, the point is that, you know, he can't say, oh, I did that, but I wasn't serious. I mean, Levi cannot think that Reuven, you know, was being frivolous when he took $1,000 or $1,000,000 from Shimon and wrote him a shtar. So the argument, right, which underpins the need to repeat Mechah every 3 years, whether it's a Zarnish Mishtari or Shtikas Marakama, that argument doesn't apply in the case of Mecher, because Mecher is not something that it's a third party. And it's a legal action. It's not something that you're serious or not serious. It's serious because it has impact.
It has a call
and legal impact. Shimon paid $100 or $1,000,000. Shimon is the new owner of the karka.
It's a change of legal status. And the Mechah doesn't change it, nor does the wife.
Yeah, 100%.
Change of legal,
so for these various reasons, they're able to say, to answer Tosis's question, again, see, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying even more. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, the assertion of legal prerogatives is a different kind of Mechah entirely. That's just incomparable. And the others are saying, no, it's really an expression of his, you know, protest. But while the argument could be made about a verbal protest, if you don't follow up, the other person doesn't have to continue to take you seriously, or maybe you never meant it, You can't say that when it affects a third party and he's been given the legal right to be the owner of the property. These are all the various ways to solve the big problem. How do you take care of the stira, the apparent stira between Laman Tesmud Beis and Laman Uvim? Rav Haigon apparently had a different solution. What's Rav Haigon's solution? Again, even the people who put out Mechachomagra Rav Haigon, I think, failed to see this. But if you look very carefully at his language, he seems to be saying this, and it's just an amazing comment if he meant it. It seems like Rav Haigon made a different chiluk to solve the problem of these two gemaras. The chiluk was, it depends when the mechah takes place. Or I'm not sure about these two gemaras, but at least in general. Do you need a mechah of 3 years, or do you need a mechah any time, one time, for a lifetime? Those are the two options. It seems like Rav Haigon had the following opinion. If you're mocha within the first year of the chazaka, then you don't need to repeat it. If you're mocha after the first year, then you have to repeat it every 3 years. Why? What does that have to do with anything? It seems like what he's saying is the idea of the Rimigash in Gittel Bar Minyumi, but backwards. The opposite application. It seems like Rav Haigon, like the Rimigash's Gittel Bar Minyumi, understood that there's a clash between two legal forces. The Chazaka and the Karka, and the legal Mechah. But the idea of Rav Haigon was as follows. If you can nip it in the bud, right, if you can attack the Chazaka before it gains any traction, before it gets started in a serious way, right, then that Mechah is going to serve you forever. You destroy the foundation of the Chazaka, nothing can ever be built on it. You uproot it. You're mevatelet. On the other hand, if the chazaka gets off the ground, you may be able to legally neutralize it. But you can't destroy it. And therefore you better keep repeating the chazaka, because otherwise this force called chazaka, you better keep repeating the makah, because otherwise this force called chazaka is going to ultimately win the case. So if it's within the first year and you're mocha, then you don't need mocha after that. And that's a little bit the way it sounds in the Gemara. Remember the Gemara said, maybe this is where he gets it. It doesn't help you so much for Laman of a days, but it helps you for this. Kim shemicha shana rishona shuv eino tzarech limchos. That's the Gemara. Then the next line in the Gemara says, Iket amri, kim shemicha shana rishona shuv eino tzarech limchos. Amrei Shlakish, v'tzorch limchos b'sof kol gimel v'gimel. So it seems to me the way Rav Haigon read the Gemara was, if you're mocha the first year, then you don't need any other mechahs. Otherwise, you have to be mocha within every 3 years. That would be an amazing idea. Good. I'm sorry? What I was trying to explain before.
If mocha must up a chazaka, it should do it whenever it's done.
What I'm saying is there are two ways to neutralize it. One is to say, to establish that it doesn't get off the ground. There's no traction, there's now. If you're going to attack it at its foundation, it'll never grow. If during the first year of the chazaka, you can already establish that there's a challenge, then the chazaka will never take root. If, on the other hand, you wait until there's a point, now why am I picking first year? It's interesting, the Gemara has in a few places. I think we've mentioned it. Gemara speaks about, you know, in general, there's an issue of Dava Velo Chatzi Dava. Let's look for a minute. The Mishnah Nun Vav Omid Beis. And there's Vav Med Aleph and Omid Beis. Mishnah says, Hayu Shnayim Me'idim Oso She'achla Gimel Shadim. Let's say two witnesses come and they testify that two witnesses come testify about a 3 year chazak covenant to zom mishaman alo esakol. Shnayim b'rishona, shnayim b'shniyah, shnayim b'shlishis, mishal shalim b'neya. So the Gemara talks about 3 kitei edim, one for each year of the chazaka. And the Gemara discusses what that's called, Okay, without going into details, but the Gemara here discusses Masis Lokra Mikiva, the Tanya Amar Yosef Shalakabu Chalafta, it's a Rabbi Yochan Benuri, Luma Torah, Amar Rabbi Yochan Benuri, it's a Lama Chalafta Luma Torah, Harish Achla, Shana Rishona Bifnei Shnaim, Shnia Bifnei Shnaim, Shlosha Bifnei Shnaim, Ahu, Amar Reza Chazaka, Amar Le Apani Amar Kain, Elis Rabbi Kiva Kolik Bedavar Zeh, Shayor Kiva Amar Davar Lo Chatzi Davar. This is the Gemara's discussion. So it's interesting that it's broken up into 3 years. Here also the Gemara talks about, you know, being mocha after 1 year, after 2 years. Sounds like the units of 3 years are important. Earlier we had it on Lamed, in our Mishnah, Lamed Chesam and Aleph. This whole section has been Lamed Chesam and Aleph, Memo and Aleph. Right, the Mishnah really says it. Shalosh Arvatos Sechazaka, Yehuda Evar Yardin Ba'Galil, Hay Buda V'Hissa Begala, Begala V'Hissa Bihuda Eda Chazaka, Che'ima B'Medina Achaz. Rav Yehuda Le'am Ro Gimel Shani Melech Kadei She Baspamia B'Yachzik Shana Yelcho B'Yodiyu Shana Yavol Shana Acheres. And we added also the Tosefta, seems to say also, you know, Chazaka of 1 year. It seems like the year, the unit, one year, is to establish the beginnings of a Chazaka. It's not the first day, you know, but you need 1,400 and whatever the math is. You know, it seems like there's a special yichus to years. The Meiri actually quotes Rishonim in the beginning of the Masechta. Let's say you have a Shnas Ibor. Right, do we measure Gimel Shanim by months or really by years? It's an interesting question. I mean, there seems to be a special yichus for the 3 years. It isn't just, you know, a time period. And of course, if you hold like Kol Keyusha, right, who say that it's derived from Sharmuad, and it's really three. It's three units of a year. So there's a lot of evidence. You don't have to say this. Again, if you say it has to do with time, and not Kol Keyusha, one could say, oh, it's a three-year aggregate. You know, within 3 years, it isn't three. There are 1,000 units. Or there are 20 units, or there are 2 units, you know, as the case may be.
Right.
Yeah.
The sheet of that, if you make a makor the first year, you don't have to do anything ever again. This really goes against human nature. Mm-hmm. Immediately, when you hear someone sign your property, you're going to complain.
Right.
And here he says, in the Lashon, I'm going back to the Lashon of makor, I'm taking you to Bezer tomorrow.
Right.
But he really doesn't do this.
Right.
There's a reason why he's not doing it because he doesn't care anymore. As time goes by and he doesn't retrieve the property, so that initial complaint, which is global, he sees after all, I haven't gotten it back, I haven't got it.
Yeah, but this, you can't win karka through yush, and you can't win it through mechila. The only significance of Cheskes Gimel Shanim is Chazaka Sheishi Matayna. Namely, that we really believe that the property belongs to you, that you bought it properly, and the Cheskes Gimel Shanim is a raya that you're telling the truth. So the fact that later on he doesn't follow through, unless you think that that reflects that he's a liar when he was being mocha, if it only says that he's lost interest and he's decided not to pursue it, the Gimel Shanim will still not help you. And that's really the idea here. The idea is that the halachic view of Cheskes Gimel Shanim is always connected to the taina and to the real possibility that there's a kinyan. It's never about mechila or yish. And therefore, as long as you believe that initial mecha, the argument, oh, he didn't follow through, let him lose by virtue of his laziness, doesn't work. It's only if you say, oh, is that Rish Bishtare? Does he have to hold it forever? Or maybe we don't believe him in retrospect, since he never, if you don't believe his mecha because he never followed through, that's one thing. But the idea of mechila yush is not going to help you when it comes to this halacha. That's why Rav Haigon is saying that there's another consideration, and that is you have these two forces. Normally they fight to a standstill, or they, you know, but each one has to continue to be reinforced, let's say. But sometimes, if you get it at the foundation, you never had a chazaka, because your chazaka was born, you know, in the context of a mecha. It was a suspicious chazaka to begin with, not just an ineffective chazaka, but a lack of ma'isa chazaka. Yeah.
When according to Rav Haigon, was the time of the mitzvah, did his time start
What do you mean?
Take the Mishnah where you have the first year you didn't know anything about it.
What do you mean you didn't know anything about it?
No.
It goes by the the Edom are testifying that he's living in a karka acting like a Bilim. It goes by that.
But
starting from March 1st.
But the Baal didn't know about it, therefore...
Well, he might have or he might not. And the only thing the Mishnah says is that even if he's in a distant place, you can still assume that within 3 years, he's going to know and have the ability to respond. But if he's not so far, I mean, in many cases, he knows even earlier.
So
could be the first year. Well, again, we're not saying the Mekah has to be within the first year. What we're saying is, according to Rav Hai, if I'm right, if the Mekah is within the first year, that's more effective than the Mekah that takes... That's the opposite of Rav Hai,
Rav
Minash.
It doesn't depend on his knowledge. It depends on the Muzak's action.
The year depends on the Maaseh. Of course, if the Marakama doesn't know that he's there, then he doesn't have the ability to be Mocha.
Exactly. So therefore...
We're just saying, let's say he does know, and he's Mocha. Let's say he knows after 6 months, right? And the question is, should he be Mocha?
And that's my question. Is Rav Hai positing that there's a Yudhiyah within that...
Oh, no, it just might depend. Rav Hai's not positing one way or another. Sometimes there will be, and sometimes there won't be. Rav Haigon's only saying one thing, and he's trying to explain the language of the Gemara, and that is there a difference whether a obviously you can't be mocha on something if you don't know about it. Let's assume that he does know about it. If he doesn't know about it, that's fine. Then there's nothing to talk about. That it's all academic. If he only can hear about it after a year or after a year and a half,
so
then
not to use the second method.
So then he's only going to be able to mocha. He can't be mocha earlier than knowing about it.
And therefore he'd have to be mocha
every 3 years. Even if he knew about it within the first year, but chose to delay his mocha till after the first year, he'd be within the 3 years. That wouldn't make a difference. Rav Haigon is only saying if Gittel Bar Minyumi was mocha within the first year. It's going on that Gemara. We're saying, you know, is there any significance to doing it in the first year? So Gittel Bar Minyumi, according to the Rimigash, was saying actually the first year is a more problematic mecha than after the midway point. And Rav Haigot is saying the opposite. Gittel Bar Minyumi, the first year mecha is actually a stronger mecha because it attacks the foundation, not just the effectiveness of the chazaka. Yeah.
I just want to break that, Rabbi Arvishal's point. It's actually consistent with the civil law, but not the law of the Gemara. When one doesn't protest under civil law,
right,
one can lose rights to property by if you sit on your rights, you can lose your ownership of the property,
uh-huh,
even if the one who is the squatter never bought it.
Wow. Yeah, the halakha is totally against that.
And the law of the Gemara, it takes a very different view.
Right.
These are just rules of evidence.
All right, 100%. Cheskas Raya.
Yeah.
That's the main point of the Mishnah. Chazaka she'ein imataina, lo shma chazaka. That means, if I'm in a piece of property for 100 years, right, and I'm living right next door to him, he's a Marakama. He sees me every single day for 100 years, and he doesn't say a word. But I've never claimed that I bought it from him. I'll lose it.
Marakama need another claim outside of the Mokhah.
What's that?
Marakama need another claim outside of the Mokhah and Sashmas. Does he have to have a raya at all?
Well, he has to have a raya that he was the previous owner.
So what does that have to be?
Either Edim or Shtar. Some people say his own Chazak of Gibel Shanim to the person who came before him. Some people claim if it's Yadua.
The Marakama doesn't have the necessary proof at the time. But he does know it's his. So
it doesn't matter. He has to have right.
He's not doing the Mokhah right away. And he's waiting for the proof. As a matter of fact, he doesn't do it every year.
I don't have to. I, the Machzik, don't have to respond to the Marakama unless he's a bona fide Marakama. I mean, if he says to me, what are you doing to my property? Right? And I have the right to say to him, why are you asking? Who are you to ask? If he says, I'm the Marakama, I say, well, what? Just prove it. Now, he has to come forward with, if he has Shar Edom, that's fine. Then there's a debate among the Rishonim, or if he has Cheskos Gimel Shanim and a Taina from somebody who is a Marakama before him, that's fine. What if he has less than that? Let's say he has a Dorba Chadyoma. Some people say it's enough. Let's say he has Hakarka Nikra Al Shemo, or Aviv Meis Bekarka Zeh. That's already debatable. But whatever it is that establishes somebody's Amar Kama, he's got to produce that, or the Maksik is not obligated to respond to him. So he has to prove his Marakama credentials.
So doesn't that impact the Mara Lama on the base? Isn't that how he possibly loses the, once the Shtar kicks in, once he proves the Shtar, so then he has no, the guy who's making the claim has no time anymore.
Well, no, the problem with Lama on the base is that there are three people involved. I mean, the established old Marakama, who Shimon and Levi both say they bought the property from, but they both agree that Reuben's family has owned this property for 1,000 years. Right? The only question is, did he sell it to Shimon 4 years ago? Right? Or did he sell it to Levi 7 years ago?
Maybe sell it to both
people. Well, he can't sell it to both, right? Otherwise, unless he's a charlatan. So the question is, who did he sell it to? But prior to 7 years ago, it's established that he is the Marakama. That's the case. The case there is complicated because there are two contenders. The shtar person on Laman of the Days, the person holding the shtar, is not the Marakama. It's the potential, it's the rival Lokeach. It's Shimon. Looks like we're calling the Marakama Reuven. Right, Levi is the Machzik, Reuven is the Marakama, and Shimon claims that he's the Lokeach Rishon. He bought it before, that's what we're saying, 4 years ago, 7 years ago, when did all the timing becomes crucial. Okay, another point. A little later, I want to finish this, but, okay, so now why we paskin Natosis. Not necessarily better, but the general psak is every 3 years for Mechah. Why? So we've discussed it already, right? Because if there's no follow-up, the credibility of the Mechah becomes a problem in terms of Shtikas Marakama, possibly in terms of his Darnish Bishtari, that's the Rashbam, and most of the Chachmei Tzvara. Good. There's another explanation that is given, and it opens up another issue. The second day of the Rashbam. Look at the Rashbam, I told you to hold on to it. The Rashbam, Dibra Maskel, Hachi Gar Sinan. Amar Shachar, Shimba Kapar, Tzarech Limcha, Sof Kol Gimel. The Rashbam himself says the reason is why? Because his Doron is holding on to a shtar. If the guy hasn't made a peep in 15 years, or in 3 years, over 3 plus years, is no longer obligatory. Fine. However, he gives another shot. B'yesh mefarshim. Everybody see B'yesh mefarshim? Towards the end of the piece? B'yesh mefarshim tamid etzorech limkos b'sof kol gimel kedei shelo yitan la'achar ha'mechah mechartali. Another possibility. The reason you have to mocha every 3 years is so that the machzik will not make a new claim. Right? Previously he said, I bought it in 1980, I bought this property. Right? But the Marakama was mocha before 1983. Right? He was mocha, let's say, right before 1983. Now he has to be mocha again before the end of 1986. Why? So the Rashbam's Yeshua Farshim say, because the Machzik can claim that after you were mocha, in 1983, I then subsequently bought the property from you again, or for the first time, and 3 years have now passed, so I have a new chazaka on my new taina. That's the Yesh Mefarshim. One more time. The Yesh Mefarshim, Tamar Tzarek Limchos, B'sof Kol Gimel, Shalot Kedei Shalot Yitza La'akar HaMechah, Mechar Tali. You sold it to me after the Mechah. The Rashbam rejects this, V'lo Nehira. The kivin al karcha modu modi demi karla b'taras mechira nachaspa eino neman lomer achre kein exakti b'taras mechira. Since originally, right? Now he's admitting with Afreya that he wasn't an original lokeach. We don't believe him to say that he got it later as a lokeach. Right, his credibility is shot, or the way the Rabban puts it more forcefully, right, once you're either Yorei Bershus or Shalom Bershus, you can't convert from your original status. we define your relationship to the karka according to the known initial relationship you have with it. By the way, this view is the view of Rabbeinu Gershom, the one that the Rashbam rejects, is Rabbeinu Gershom's view, and it's also the view of the Baal Amor. If you look on Chaf Amud Aleph in the Daf, I think it's Chaf Amud Aleph, in the Daf Behariv, see, we're going to need a couple of minutes next time just to finish off, but this is the view of the Baal Amor. Chaf Amud Aleph. It's a very long, involved, interesting Ramban and Baal Amor here on Chaf Amud Aleph. Just look at it for a minute. You see the Baal Amor on the right side, on Chaf Amud Aleph and the Daf Behariv, page 39. Right? Nirali, says the Baal Amor, Hatam. The reason is, after the last mecha, I bought it from you. The Baal Amor already doesn't want to say, I lied, and now I... So he says, no. Originally, we had an agreement about the peros, and I was there. Right? And then you registered a mecha, not because I claimed... According to the case, it's a little different. Not because I claimed the property was mine, because you just wanted to make sure there should be no misconception. That's a Gemara in Lamed Hamid base. The Gemara says, if a guy claims the peros yoratati, how are you ever going to stop him? The answer is, from going to peros, and then claiming later on that he bought the property. So the Gemara says, always register a mecha, not a mecha, you're a liar, you're a cheater. I hereby declare, this guy is only there, the peros, and I'm the real owner, and asserting of one's bialus. So originally, that's what the mecha was for. And then he said, you know what? The payros are so good. I'm having such a great experience here. I'm going to buy the property from you. Can he do that? Be tainachi, tanasa taina, says the Baal Amor. Be lo tanina le, ve'ilo rather lo tanina le anan. Ah. This is how he answers the question, he says later on, from Lamed Amud Beis. What's the steer from Lamed Amud Beis again? The Gemara there seems to imply that a single mecha is all you need. You don't need to repeat the mecha every 3 years. But our Gemara says you have to repeat it every 3 years. But if you hold like the second day of the Rashbam, or the Baal Amor, or the Rabbeinu Gershom, which is, why do you have to repeat it every 3 years? Because you might claim that the reality changed, that you bought it after the first mecha. Well, that's only if you make the claim. If you claim, I didn't do anything new, I still claim I'm the owner, then you only need a single mecha. There's no need to repeat it. But if I'm going to claim that I purchased the property for the first time now, right, so then the old mecha doesn't... The old mecha will help you if it's the old taina. The old mecha doesn't help you if it's a new taina. So the Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis is a situation where there's a single dispute, the single factual dispute that continues for many years. Namely, did I buy the property 7 years ago, yes or no? That's the question. You don't need mechas other than the single first one within the first 3 years. That's all you need. 4 years have passed since the second one. Doesn't make a difference. That's the case there. Because it's the same taina. It's only when there's a new taina that you need a new mecha. That's the Baal Amor solution. For Rav Shmuel Ramru, that's the Rashbam, in other words, from Ramru, Docha Zatam, the Amalo Nehira, the Kivan Dal Karchon, Moda de Mikara La, Bataras Mechira Nachas Fa, in an Amalam Rakakak, Bataras Mechira Kazakti Bachakak, Banitema, Minola Lerav, Dinze, what is it saying? This is a play on, you know, the language of Chazaka. Though in Chazaka, in the world of Chazaka, not, you know, Cheses Gimel Shanim, but presumptions Chazaka, there's a notion called Chazaka de Meikara and Chazaka de Hashta. The Rishonim had a good sense of humor, right? The status quo ante, the previous status quo, and the present status quo. So we usually go about the Chazaka de Meikara, the old status quo. So he says, what do you need? A chazaka basar mikara zlinan? Here he means that, not as a presumption, but a chazaka, like chazaka kibbul shanim. He's saying, a chazaka kibbul shanim depends on mikara, on how you came to the karka originally. This is a play on words. kigor hadar mina neimatzikim in the tzikata rabbi the gadil kigor ma'is in the rabbi bar shirshum. What would be the basis for such an idea that we define chazakos based on the initiation of certain gemaras? The kitzur, I'm not going to read the whole thing. The Baal HaMor tries to refute these proofs. He doesn't think that from a umdana point of view, the ability to make a new claim is problematic, especially if you assume the first time it was Luperos Aradati. And he doesn't think that there's a rule that Mikara, that you can't convert from an original status in Karka to a later status. The Ramban, it's a little late, so I'm not going to read it inside. This whole Ramban is to dispute this Baal HaMor. Right? The Ramban, like the Rashbam, says it cannot be. Ramban says no. Whenever you are Yored Lasada, that dictates the nature of your Mukzakus, and you can't convert it into something else. The most important thing for me to mention is that, what's his proof? What's his rayas? Most of his rayas, he himself says, are from the world of Metalton. Tvisa. An Uma. So let's say the rule in Metalton is what? Chazaka komasha takas yadada marei shalom. Right? We know Tvisa Metalton, you know, is very powerful. You only have to wait 3 years. It's immediate. So let's say you pick up a piece of metalpilin, and clearly when you picked it up, it wasn't Betorah's ownership. Let's say you're an Uman, right? And you were given the object to fix. And now you claim, yeah, I got it for Umnus, right? But then I bought it from him, and here it is. I admit that I originally had it in my possession for Umnus, and now it's this. Does it work or not? So those are the rayas that the Ramban is quoting to prove that you can't convert from an original tfisa, original chazaka, into a tfisa or a chazaka of bilus. We see that from the world of Metalkalin, and maybe even as a kol shekain raya. After all, the point is, which is easier to accomplish, tfisas Metalkalin or tfisas karka? Or cheskas karka? Tfisas Metalkalin, because it's immediate. And yet, you can't convert from one to the other. Namely, you won't have Tfisas Metalpilin if it starts off Yoreg Bershus or Shalom Bershus. So too, when it comes to Cheskas, Karka, which is more difficult to accomplish, you certainly won't be able to accomplish it when initially you went into the process Betoras Bershus or Shalom Bershus. That's the argument of the Ramban. The Mukhe Yosef quotes the Rajba, who disagrees. If you look here, in the middle of on the Kaf Amud Aleph, we look at the little Os Tes in the Mukhe Yosef. V'zeh lefi ha-mefarshim shomer d'kol shem etchilu la-yored b'tar smekach ein adem adamah chazarti v'lakachtiv k'ravinu b'shmaita d'umdiv gavim b'talkalim v'heche d'ike edin v'ra shuv ein lo chazaka. Avodas a Rajba, the metalpilin b'lechud d'amin and shiv ein lo chazaka. The kiv the chazkasan u'la'alte v'tvisasan, v'az ike e the pikadon shiv ein lo chazaka. Avod karkos na'avodim shechazkasan gimel shanim ein derech habayim l'anicham kol kach biyad nifkad afilu ike e dim v'ra nam alamar chazarti v'lekachdim v'kvar kasafti din zela el. Now the first part of the Nebuke Yosef, or the Rajba that he's quoting, and the second part sounds a little bit different. The second part sounds like the distinction is a practical distinction. It just goes something like this. Tfisas Metalton is immediate. And therefore, if somebody is Yorin, Betoras Umnus, you know, and then 10 minutes later you claim that, you know, I have it, you know, I made a deal with him and I bought it, that's not credible. You'll say, and what if it takes 100 years to make that claim, or 10 years, or 3 months, or 2 years to make that claim? It doesn't make a difference, because in Tfisas Metalpilin, there is only miyad. So if you choose to make the claim earlier or later, legally, that's not significant. And therefore, since immediately it wouldn't be an effective claim, it wouldn't be an effective claim lachar zman either. However, when it comes to chazaka of karka, which is 3 years, so the point is, since the last since you were Yored in this other capacity, it's been 3 years, and no one has said a word, right? And that's a long period of time to leave a valuable piece of karka in someone else's hand. So both the value of the karka and the time, lapse that is greater, both of those factors come together. They converge to establish that probably there's been some change in status. However, I prefer to focus on the first part of the Rajpa. Forget about the umdana, the practical consideration, and to make the following distinction. The Ramban's kol shekein is turned on its head. What did the Ramban say? If tfisas metaltalin cannot be converted, even though it's easier to accomplish tfisas metaltalin, then cheskas karka certainly cannot. But I would have said to that, and I think that's what the Rajpa starts off by saying, he anosenes, it's exactly the opposite. Because tfisas metaltalin is defined by the physical control of the object, therefore that initial physical relationship is determinative. And you cannot convert from one to the other. The whole point is whether the original act of tfisa is an act of mukzakus and bailus or not. And if it's not, then there is nothing after that point. It's not more mukzak, more tafus viado, 10 minutes from now, or a week from now, right, than it is when I'm making the claim that the Mecca took place, than it is when the Umnos took place. However, the weakness of Cheskas Karka is also its strength. Namely, it's not about the physical control, because otherwise it would be Miyah. It's about developing a relationship with the Karka. It's about a more long, just for the same reason as we've explained many times, that the Marakama is in a stronger position than the Machzik. That's because once you've established a connection with Karka, it's not so easy to eradicate that connection. And it isn't defined only by physical control. It's defined by, again, a deeper, more profound link to the land. And as such, the rule that, Yarad Breshus or Yarad Shalom Breshus, that you can't convert your initial connection, if that were to be true, there would be no chazaka in any case, even if you're Yored B'Torah's Bailus to begin with. So on the contrary, instead of being a kol shekein, maybe that's what the Rashi was saying in the very beginning, the tfisa of metaltalin is defined by the initial tfisa and isn't flexible enough to be converted. But that's not true with regard to karka. This, of course, raises the question, what about the relationship between karka and metaltalin? Even when karka works, in other words, tfisa miyad of metaltalin and cheskas gimel shanim of karka. And there are a number of issues where this question of can we create a parallel between what works in metaltalin when it works and what works in karka when it works. I'll just give you one example since it's late. I was going to give you three or four, but maybe next week we'll finish, just have another couple of minutes to finish off this gemara, then we'll go back to Chavtesa and Aleph. Let me leave you with one thought. There's a huge debate in the Rishonim when it comes to Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Let's say a guy is a Taina, he has 3 years, there's no Mecha, he wins the case, right? However, question is, does he have to take a Shavuos Esses? The other fellow claims you're a thief, you may have Gimel Shanim, you may have a Taina, maybe I didn't register the Mecha on time, but I'm still claiming that you're a thief and you stole my property and you don't really own it legally. Can he impose a Shavuos Esses, Kofar HaKol, a Shavuos Esses or not? So here you have a major Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam says it's a Shavuos Esses. Tosfos on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph says it's a Shavuos Esses. The Rajbam on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph and some other Rishonim say there's no Shavuos Esses. The Rajbam gives two reasons. One reason is Ein Nishbayim Alei Karkos. In general, you don't take a shvuah on karka. Bali told us to say that's not such a good argument because we're talking about shvuah hetzes here. It's a shvuah drabanan. It's not just a shvuah drabanan. It's a very kal shvuah. It's not clear that the rule of ein nishbayim alei karkos applies to shvuah hetzes. The Rashbam knew that as well, so he has a second answer. Inami, he says cheskas gimel shanim is b'makom shtar ka'asi. It's meant to be a kind of virtual shtar. It's a replacement for the shtar that you claim that you really have. The real claim of the machzik is, I had a shtar, I bought the property, but I lost the shtar by being there. Cheskas Gimel Shanim, believe me that I had one. Rashbam says an amazing thing. Rashbam says, since we believe him that he had a star, no, had he had the star itself, he came to court and he waved the star. Would we be imposing upon him a Shua's essence? Certainly not. So we treat him as if he has a star. That's an amazing Kiddush of the Rashbam. I call it the virtual star theory. Okay. There are other echoes of this in the Rashbam and a few other Rishonim. Hopefully as we move forward we'll have a chance to discuss it. But the point is, what's the rule in Metalfalim? Same issue. The guy walks into, you know, again they're disputing a case in court, he has a watch. He says, this is my watch, I'm wearing it, it's mine. I bought it from Plony. And Plony says, he stole it from me, or I lent it to him. It's not his watch. What happens? Tfisas Metalfalim happens, right? It's not Godros, and it's not Dvar Masim Lahashu Lahaskir. He's not an Uman. So what do we say? Chazaka, Kol Masha Tachas Yad Adam, in this case, Kol Masha Al Yad Shal Adam, in Harei Shalom. We believe him, and he wins. Does he take Yeshua's essence? Certainly. Everybody agrees in that case, that's classic Kol Prakol. I say, you have my object, right? And he says, it's not yours, it's mine. I don't know anything. You take a Shua's essence. So according to the Rishonim, we say, both cases you win. You win in 3 years in Karakon, you win immediately in Metalfalim. In both cases, you take Shua's essence. If not for maybe Ein Nishmayim Ala Karkalos. And the Rashbam, and other Rishonim, a few other Rishonim, say, no. The way that you win is just, it's a different principle. You can't assume all Dinei Metalfalim and transfer to Karka just 3 years later. And this is true for, there's a Gemara about Dor Bochad Yoma, and another, there are many other rayas for this idea as well. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll finish with this certainly next week, and we'll go back to Pesach and Aleph to continue to discuss Dinei Chazaka.